This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Dave, for this introduction. And we are carrying on with our War Room. Okay, just to remind you what the War Room is all about. The War Room is the little place in your home, in your garage, in your car, yeah, in your garden shed, in a little cubicle, you know, which you kit out with everything you need to fight the battle. And again, in the Bible, we are called to fight a battle. It's quite a lot of references in there about the War Room and about war, Christian warfare. And again, the warfare, just to clarify it for anybody who's tuning in here, it's not anything to do like the Islamic Jihad. We are not fighting people. We are not fighting flesh and blood. We are fighting ideas. We are fighting lofty concepts, lofty ideas that raise themselves up against the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians 10 talks about this. Ephesians chapter 6, we are fighting against the principalities, the rulers of the air. And they are not rulers of flesh and blood, but they're spiritual powers which are trying to take over and try to poison mankind against God. And and that's what we are here for. We are fighting a war, and we are fighting the war for Christ, for the knowledge of God revealed in Jesus Christ. And that is very important. It's I mention this every time, but I feel it's just very important because it's so easy to misconstrue ideas and concepts. Okay, well, what about the whole war thing? Now, Paul, when he was talking about Christian warfare, he was drawing on a lot of analogies from within the Roman Empire. You know, the way soldiers fight, the armor of a soldier, some of the strategies they apply. He was talking about the victory processions at the end of a battle. Yeah, for some, it's the scent, you know, when they have these incense and stuff like that, the scent of freedom and life, and for others, it's the scent of death. They had victory parades in the Roman Empire at the end of a battle, and they were just taking captives. And at the end of the parade, some of the captives were set free, you know, no slavery, no nothing, you can just go home, you know, carry on with your life, no problems, all is forgiven. And others were executed right at the end of the parade. And why did they do this? Because they could, because they have conquered the people. So that Rome could do these horrible things or good things, depending on the way you view it. But what we need to do is we need to be, and again, it's an image Jesus came up, we need to be as cunning as snakes, as wise as snakes, but without fault, without flaw, like doves. Yeah. Be honest, have a sense of integrity, fight corruption, but be very clever as well in what we are doing and in how we are approaching this war. Okay, what I'm doing at the moment is, and if you've been following the series, we are just looking at a lot of ideas for war rooms. Yeah. My vision is, and again, all I am, I'm just a guy, you know, this, I wouldn't want to use this term, you know, a voice in the desert or a voice crying in the desert. I mean, they were people who were really holy and who did great things for God. All I am is just a guy, you know, sitting in his little war room, coming up with ideas which need to be tackled, which I see in the world out there, and which need to be tackled. And we as Christians, as a body of Christ, we need to rise up to tackle a lot of issues people are dealing with. You know, a lot of crazy ideas people have in this world. We need to rise up and just come against them. And it's been happening. It's been happening. I've got a couple of friends. They've been doing this. And they've been, as one friend of mine, Trey Smith, he has been following this idea of the war room for a long time. And when you sort of get to his room where everything is happening, he's just got a couple of monitors. He's got a little bit of video software. And he's got ideas. He's driven by the Spirit of God. And he comes up with, you know, crazy ideas, which I at the time think are very crazy. And he then goes with it and he prays about it. He seeks the wisdom of God on it. And he creates films which seem to resonate with people. And that is what we need to do. There are other guys as well. There are, you know, guys I've come across, I've seen. There are people who have done a tremendous amount of work on the whole lie of the theory of evolution. Yeah, very destructive, very, very destructive, very potent as well. Something the enemy has brought in, and it's just a complete model of nonsense, and yet people buy into it, you know, full lock, stock and barrel. They buy into it, and they are totally sold out for Darwinism, thinking that whatever this guy came up with is anywhere near the truth. And yet, all you need to do is just take a little torch, you know, little LED torch or something, and you just light it on the theory, and it just falls apart within seconds, within sentences, a couple of sentences, and you can just destroy the whole theory of evolution. A couple of guys came up with this. I've met a guy here in England. I'm not sure whether it's Answers in Genesis or something, but there was one creationist organization here in England, and he was struggling as well. They just tried to get this across into the churches here in England, and he found that a lot of pastors were still totally sold out on the theory of evolution. And the big problem is if you are, you may as well just give up on Christianity. Yeah. This is bad. That's what I think. Because Jesus didn't believe in evolution. And we can see this very clearly from the Gospels. He considered to be the biblical narrative to be the true narrative. And he should know. Yeah, he's the Son of God. He was there right at the beginning. And again, we need to rise up. We need to rise up like these guys here in Britain, like, for example, Kent Hovind in the States, who has done a tremendous amount of work in this stuff. And all he's done is really just pooling information together, doing a little bit of his own research, and, you know, building something up quite big. And we've got other guys as well. We've got Abramson and Answers in Genesis, Creation Research Institute, and a lot of other stuff. And I've seen some stuff in Texas where people were really putting a lot of effort in it. And it's great. It's good. And this is war room stuff. This is, you know, it's they've come up, they've presented something which is a lie. And they've filled the minds of our children with this lie, you know, driving them away from the truth in Jesus Christ with just empty lies, really empty lies. And it took time, you know, but eventually people rose up and they took them on board. And when you, maybe it's a little bit fearful because we believe not because out of logic, but most of us believe because we have had an experience with Jesus Christ and we have come to know him on a personal level. And the fearful thing is, what is if we look into nature? And what if all the evidence that mounts up doesn't confirm the Bible? And I think that is a big fear, and it's been a big fear within Christianity for a long, long time. But one of the things we see more and more, the more we research and the more we go into Egyptology, the more we go into history, the more we go into antique religions, the more we study the stuff that's out there, the more we realize that it all confirms the Bible, and that the Bible is actually a very precise history book. Yeah? The more we look into this, yeah, and bypass all the secular narrative, which is pretty much poised against it, but just look at the data we get objectively, we can see that it confirms whatever the Bible is saying. And this is the truth we need to get out there. And we need not be afraid of confronting the world with this truth. Yeah? We need not be afraid. We need not be afraid about this stuff. Okay, I'm just going to... I should have done it before I started the talk, really. I did a little list, just a brainstorming session, and I got about 50 points or more, yeah, on all the stuff we need to discuss, really. Yeah? In these war rooms, and I'm just sort of, I want to go through this list, you know, work this list down, and if you're listening to this, I want you to, you know, if you feel this is something for you, and this is something to get into, to maybe get your teeth into one of these subjects, and be inspired and just go for it and do some research in these areas. Okay, right. One of the things, I'm just going down the list, and I mentioned some of the stuff before, so please forgive me. But but again, it's not about, you know, getting you converted or anything like that. It's all, you know, take this on board, and maybe there's something which really rocks your boat. And if it does, go with it. You know, do some research. You know, get down on your computer and spend a few evenings, spend a weekend to just research this, and then start producing materials. Produce a blog. Some video, YouTube talk, write something, write a pamphlet about this, you know, collect information and put this all together and do something about this. And then put it out there in the world. We've got the facilities we've never had before. No generation before us had the facility where at the press of a button you can make information available to potentially 6 billion people or 9 billion people or whatever the population is right now. Yeah. Only very few people are now shut off from this global network that is there. So you can make this stuff available. And believe you me, you know, do not despise the day of small beginnings. That's once what a friend said to me. And maybe I should do a long talk about this. Okay, I tell you my story. You know, God has called me when I became a Christian into Christian radio. And I tried everything, you know. I knocked on the doors of Christian radio stations and so on. The impression I get, I pretty much got the boot in my backside, yeah, to use this terminology. I got the boot, yeah. Nobody was really interested. Nobody really wanted to know. Nobody really wanted to, you know, was interested in my work. So I thought, okay, fair enough. You know, I still have got the same calling. I still have got the same thing. I went through the interview process of one big Christian organization, and they were, they were sort of big into Christian broadcasting, into the Far East. And I went all the way to the end. And to be fair, I mean, I have to agree with their assessment as well. Their thing was at the end, you know, look, you know, you're too young. We don't know, you know, whether you're going to be any good for us. Come back in a few years' time, you know, do a few more studies, you know, get some qualifications at the back of your neck and then come back. Anyway, I had a window of opportunity where people, and this is the other thing as well, is they wouldn't even pay your wage. You would have to, you know, find people who would support you. And this was sort of the missionary thing. And then they employ you, but they don't pay a penny. Instead, you've got other people who support you. And at the time, I had a bunch of people who were willing to support me, and it would have been enough to get me going. A few years later, I didn't have this anymore. You know, nobody was interested in me. Nobody, you know, had any faith in that anymore. That was over. You know, I got my qualifications, but I didn't have the support. Before, I didn't have the qualifications, but I had the support, but still they weren't interested. They thought I was too young. You know, my lifestyle, my CV at the time looked a little bit all over the place. And I got the boot. I got the boot. But you see, if God gives you a vision, and if God gives you a vision, and sometimes, you know, and I also, just with a friend, just praying about this whole thing, because I had this vision, I was consumed by this vision. And then the internet came along in the 90s, and I started sort of trying to, you know, create some audio, Christian radio audio, stick it out on the net, and it was a great success. And I think at the time, there was nobody doing it. Yeah. And I'm going sort of right back in the 90s, early 90s, when sort of MP3, nobody ever heard about it. And it sort of just came all out of the ground. But there was some stuff there. And then within about a year, tons of people were doing it. People were writing books on how to do it, how to create your own little internet radio station. And then a little bit later, pretty much every FM Christian radio station had some sort of online outlet as well. But when I was talking to a friend, I thought, oh, you know, I've had this vision all these years, just coming to nothing. And he just said to me, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Yeah, do not despise the day of small beginnings. There's a scripture somewhere. I would have to dig it out, but maybe for another time we can do a talk about the day of small beginnings. And anyway, one thing led to another, you know, and suddenly it was like an explosion where lots of opportunities happened, and I was working with a Ugandan guy at the college where I was working, and his brother wanted to set up a radio station. And within a very short time, there was an FM radio station which where I became a part of, and it did work, and suddenly it reached out to a huge amount of people. A little bit later, there was a satellite radio station. That thing grew, and it almost covered all of the world at one stage. But there were periods. Yeah, it only lasted. One radio station lasted for 7 years. The other one lasted for about 7 years, and then it came to an end. So literally from, you know, a little boy being somewhere, you know, getting the boot wherever he wanted to go and you know, work within this media, within Christian media, because I felt the call of God upon my life. nothing happened, and then from nothing, it went to a radio station that had de facto worldwide coverage, you know, with, I think, South America and a few places in the Pacific weren't covered. But that is what God can do. And I want to encourage you as well with this Christian War Room. It may be nothing. Yeah. It may just be very, very little, but it might be the key. And you never know what the outcome is. It might be the key for key people to straighten out their relationship with God because they had this big issue in their life. So it might just be the key for them to come into the kingdom with the work you are doing. And you don't know. It's a bit like in Ecclesiastes. It talks about, you know, cast your bread upon the waters, 3, 4, because you don't know when you will find it back again, when you will find it again after many days. Yeah. And that's in Ecclesiastes, I think it's chapter, towards the end, chapter 12 or something. Anyway, check it out. Yeah. But that is the thing, you know, sometimes we just need to cast our bread upon the water. And we need to start doing something to just get going, you know, get the ball rolling. And before we know, there might be a big avalanche covering a whole valley. And I'm not talking about a deathly avalanche of snow killing a lot of people, but I'm talking about an avalanche of the knowledge of God covering a whole community and people coming to know Jesus Christ before the gate closes, before it is all over, before we enter a time which is absolutely horrible. Okay. I need to quickly check because I'm going off on a tangent, and I've been going off on a tangent for quite a bit. I really wanted to go through this list, but I felt it's very, very important. So, my friend, you know, if you're listening to this and you're listening to this old war room talk, I'm calling out to you and I'm saying, open up your own war room, get going, you know, get your teeth into it, start setting up your blogs, your YouTube videos, your audio files, your printed materials, produce something, you know, in a subject area that strikes you and where we've got big problems in this world, where people are confused and they can't tell the right hand from the left hand anymore. We can because we've got the Word of God and we've got the Spirit of God leading us into truth. And we've got so many materials at our disposal these days that we sometimes can dig up on stuff which is amazing. Okay, let me go to the next subject, and I'm just going to run down this list. I've got about, I wanted just to create a list of maybe a dozen subjects and then get you to talk about it. And I ended up with a list which is probably more like 50 or 100. I haven't counted them, but there are a lot of subject areas in there. For example, Egyptology, yeah, very, very important because the Bible talks a lot about Egypt. Yeah, and what we find is when we go into Egyptology, that there's a lot of stuff that really lines up with the information we've got in the Bible. I know my friend Trey has done quite a lot of work on that, and he came up with an interesting thing, because when you look at Egyptology, and you look at all the dynasties, and you sort of line them up against one another, you're coming with a chronology which doesn't tie up with the Bible at all. Yeah, it's a lot longer, and doesn't tie up with world history. And he came up with an idea, and he said that, that a lot of dynasties, that they run in parallel, and that the timing is not necessarily correct the way it is described within this. And he was sort of looking at this, and he found out that suddenly if you look at them, you know, of parallel dynasties and of looking at some of the periods not being quite right, you know, in the way they line up the years, that then suddenly everything falls into place, and it is there. We can pretty much identify where Joseph was and who was the Pharaoh with Joseph, and also the Pharaoh in Moses' times as well. And then consecutively, a lot of other pharaohs which were mentioned in the Bible, you know, like Necho and others, you know, later in the Book of Kings and so on. And again, I'm not an expert in this. Yeah, I was just listening to him and I thought, yeah, it does make a lot of sense. But it may be time for Christians to rise up. Because what we find is that people in the world, they pretty much try everything to make it not tie up with the Bible. Yeah, so they try to mystify the information we've got from the Bible. And we need to demystify it. We just need to with open eyes look at this. And again, what I said before is the more research has gone into it, especially sort of in the last 50 years, because before there was people were a little bit afraid and they weren't really, they were afraid that they would find information which doesn't tie up. But the more we sit back and we look at the data we are getting, the more we find that the things just fall into place, just tie up with the Bible, that the Bible is actually a very precise history book. And it's not just stories there to give us an idea about morality or something like that, but it is actually a very precise history book and very reliable as such. And data, if you go away from the secular narrative and we just look at the data free from their interpretation, it just adds up. It just falls into place. And that's something we need to do. And maybe we need to do this with Egyptology as well. And the same applies for ancient empires. I got a friend of mine, and he was sort of going into Sumerian, the Sumerian narrative. And he started sort of translating texts, and there are tons of little clay plates and things like that, which haven't been translated. And there's like a whole group of people going into this. That guy isn't a Christian, but we had a lot of talks, and it was really interesting to see what he was coming up with. And again, he was doing a lot of work in this area. And it's interesting, if you know people like that, to maybe just, get information from them, see what they come up with, and then just be open-minded and see, what you can see. Again, when you look at sort of the ancient history, and when you look at sort of pre-flood history, and when you look at some of the stories which are out there, people about 2 miles tall and stuff like that, which sounds really, really crazy. But again, you look at some of the rock sediments, and suddenly you find faces cut into rock, and I'm not talking about Mount Rushmore. I'm talking about something where a face is pressed into a wall, fossilized, a human face, the size of a small zeppelin. And you think, if did somebody chisel it into it, or is this just, that there was a sudden catastrophe? Sediments came down, and with this insane pressure, organic matter was fossilized within a very short period of time, and there's maybe more to it. And again, this is something which is worthwhile to study and to see what was really going on before the flood. We've got tons and tons of stories from the pre-flood area. How much of these stories are actually true, and how much are not? And what evidence have we got to suggest that they may be true? And if we approach this open-minded, it's interesting what we can come up with. And there might be a lot of interesting studies which are there. There's one guy, Ele Mazzulli. He has done a lot of research in this area. And again, I would encourage you to just listen to some of the stuff he has to say. At least he has got the guts as well. So very often when he goes, I think they call it the rabbit trail. So he follows a rabbit trail or go through the rabbit hole to see what's going on. And if he gets it wrong, he actually admits to it as well. So sometimes he's been chasing something up, and his research eventually proves that a lot of it was just fake information, or it was the finds which apparently were there were faked. He'll actually have the guts to come up and say, okay, this was a mistake. I hold up my hands. I thought it was correct, but I did my research and it was wrong. So Ele Mazzulli is one of the guys to check out in this area, and he's done a lot of work in this. There are a lot of other guys as well who study information and stuff that is out there, and it's worthwhile to just look at them. Okay, another sort of big sort of area of history. Let's see how much time we've got left. We haven't got much time, but I just want to encourage you to go into this. Just Christian history. What we find is, and we get like Tony Palmer talking about this, his Christian history is there was one church, which was a Catholic church, and then first millennium they split up, and you had the Orthodox and the Catholic church. Then 1500s you had the Lutheran church splitting up, And now we all need to get back together. That's sort of his argument. When I know church history fairly well, but when I listen to this guy, it sort of makes my stomach curl up. And what you find is, you always had the state church, you had the Catholic Church, but you always had loads of groups of Christians who split up from the state church. And they were just pursuing Christ in their own way, you know. Pretty much all of southern France at one stage, and that was well before the Reformation, they were Bible-believing Christians who were completely split up from the church in Rome. We had the Waldenses who were living up in the Alps in areas which were pretty much unreachable, and they were never really persecuting them. And they were pretty much there from the beginning, you know, from well before the Church of Rome got any grip on the nations. And we had the Bogomils. We had pretty much all of North Africa, which was Christian and wasn't dominated by Rome, you know, for a long time. And again, we need to have people who study this and give us a view of real Christianity throughout the ages. And again, some attempts have been made. There's Fox's Book of Martyrs. There are a couple of books out there who tackle this question of church history. But we need more of this as well. We need to understand what was really going on, and we can't allow church history to be written by the big denominations, you know, who try to tell us, you know, that they've always been there, and then Luther came along and it split it all up, and we had all these wars, and it was just down to misunderstandings. And now we need to come together because the Pope is such a wonderful boy, and we all need to follow him. Now, this is a lot of rubbish what these guys are telling you. There's been a church which was persecuted for the last 1,000 years here in Europe, and still is persecuted. And there were Christians all over the place, well before Luther, well after Luther, and even the Lutheran church was persecuting some of those guys, yeah, who were just following the Bible the best they understood. Yeah. And all I need to tell you is we had the Mennonites, we had the Hutterites, the Amish, you know, they come from this time, from the spirit as well. Yeah. They were also persecuted, and that's the reason why they ended up, some of them went to Russia, some of them went to South America, some of them went to North America. Lots of other people as well. So we need to rise up. We need to have people who talk about the history, our heritage, our real and true heritage, which was there, so that people are not fooled into thinking that into a wrong concept of Christianity, and then they all get sort of tied up with all the big churches, because unity is an important thing. Unity under the lowest common denominator, under a lie. My friend, unity is when we are one in Christ, not when we are one in one denomination and ruled by one religious body who is most likely, you know, put together by godless people, by wicked people who do not know Jesus. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we just want to pray about this war room. Lord, I pray, Father, for people to take on the idea of the Christian war room and to just tackle these subjects and to get together with other people and to just get the truth out there, get the true information out there, that we are not going to be fooled by wrong ideas and by wrong concepts which are pushed down into our churches, Lord, into the body of Christ. I pray for people to rise up, Lord, and to proclaim, to research and to proclaim the truth, for people to know that you are Lord, for people to know that you are the Lord of Lords and the God of Gods, Jesus. I pray for this in Jesus' name. Okay, stay tuned here. We're going to carry on with this list, you know, rattling down the list of the war room here at BPN Radio, here at Seismic Radio. God bless, and, you know, visit our website, ChristianWarRoom.com.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.